Morning, everybody. Yes, we are live. We are live and in full effect. We haven't been live for a while because we've been trying to get our pod shit together. And as you can see, we changed our name. You know, there's some wonderful dudes out there, the Brew Podcast, some brothers out there. And, you know, much love. So we are blossoming and Brew. We are growing. We are thriving. But we are learning and we are talking about real shit. So I'm Regine L. Sawyer of Lock It Down Productions, and my co-host is...
I am Ilka Panero of The Ilka Panero Incorporated. And hey, everybody. Hey. We're really glad to be here. It was, you know, started from the bottom, now we're here. It was a real trial to get to this point. It really was, just for various... you know, pandemic, white supremacist toxicity reasons. But you know, we made it.
We made it.
I'll honestly just start off by saying that part of the reason we started so late today was because, you know, Regine was over here talking me down from some emotional edges, because I'm just really, you know, for those of you who may not be as familiar with the work I do, I'm a shaman, you know, and I like to call myself a metaphysical trainer. So I basically help people learn how to exercise their intuitive muscles and their psychic muscles and stuff like that. I also, like, you know, we'll talk to people's spirit guides and help translate messages, you know, from them, from their animals, various things like that. So I was having a real emotional moment because of just some stuff that I'm aware of, you know, that has been, like, offered to me informationally about how what we are currently going through as a collective is really affecting not only us humans, but, like, you know, beings who are on other planes and realms of existence. And just the ways in which, like, you know, the little things we think we do, you know, it's just like chaos theory is real, and like, you are a butterfly, you know, and the way you flap your wings really does have the possibility to, like, the potential to create, you know, a tsunami in, like, Japan, you know what I mean? So I was just having some moments, and literally moments before this podcast, Regine was like, girl, we'll be all right. So I really don't, you know, most of the time, and I feel like a lot of marginalized people have this sort of up and down thing of, like, is it going to be all right? I don't know if it's going to be all right. Shit doesn't seem all right. We may not be all right. Are we going to be all right? Maybe we'll be all right. Doesn't feel all right today. So part of the reason we're all feeling that, and to hopefully give each other, you know, some mutual ways of getting through the morass, right, and through the maze of, like, this experience, and just really, like, help each other kind of remember that we have the ability to make it all right for ourselves and for each other.
Yeah,
so that's why we late. Last time we late was because I might have been high. I have no idea.
You know what? Well, I think you were getting ready. Can you hear me okay? I just put in my headset.
I can hear you fine, yes.
Okay, good. Just checking.
Yes.
But I think that brings up sort of, or I should say touches upon, the broader issue of what's happening, you know, in our world overall today. And I think what we want to talk about for the most part today was what's been happening this week with us Black folk and then white folk. And that's part of why I was helping bring Ilka down today. But just for her to be cohesive and for us to be able to talk about it, otherwise it's going to be just a couple of just singular words. And it's like, nah, let's... And she's laughing for a reason, because it might not have been conducive.
For yes.
Come on, just yet. But we want to bring that into place because, you know, real things are happening to us out here. And that's, and it correlates with the pandemic in the sense that I think we talked about this last time, maybe on the podcast, where it just seems like everything that's going on is a magnifier of people's attitudes, their personalities, their actions. Like if you thought, you know, and we're just going to say Karen, if you thought Karen was tripping 6 months ago, Karen is freely tripping and causing damage without a single thought in the world. You know, now she's doing
until the blowback happens. Because did you see it? Did you see the apology?
Well, let's talk about what happened. Do you wanna just?
I mean, sure, I will, because I think I might have encountered it like just maybe seconds before you did. And this is so interesting to me too, because, well, I'll just tell you. So, yeah, I've been on one all day. Like, I've been on one actually for a couple of days. And so earlier today, I was talking to Regina about this thing and about how basically, like, if you just look at, you know, like, for example, my social media timeline and Regina's social media timeline and, like, a lot of marginalized people, Black people, you know, brown people of color, like, that kind of thing, like, their timelines, like, a lot of people are talking about this Amy Cooper situation. Sidebar, I think it's so very American that they have the same last name.
I know. Isn't
that... like, this is nice. It's almost like the simulation has become aware of itself, and it's just like, look, like, we're actually going to put this, and I was just like, wow, they got the same fucking last name. Like,
makes you think, just, I'm just going to call it plantation theory, you know what I mean?
Please do call it that, because thank you for that, because I was just like, there has to be some, you know, sort of like bon mot that we can apply to this. So the way the story goes is that this, if you don't know, I'm raising my eyebrow, because I'm wondering where you are looking for information and where you are getting it. So if you don't know, there's a place in Central Park, it's called The Ramble. And the people will, you know, it's this like big open area. A lot of bird watchers go there. A lot of just like nature lovers go there. And there are very strict rules about keeping your dog on leash in the Ramble. Okay. So there is this video of this gentleman, a Black man, who asked this woman, a white woman, to put her dog on the leash. And according to his own statement, this is what happened. He says, ma'am, according to the rules, like, please leash your dog, so on and so forth. And then she says, she like sort of angrily refused, and it was a thing, you know, like they started to get into words about it. And the man was saying that he like tends to have dog treats. He just always has dog treats because he probably runs into dogs when he's bird watching. And so she essentially was just like, well, what's the worst that could happen? And he was like, I mean, this, for example. And he was like, come here, puppy. And like called the dog over to give him dog treats. And as the dog started to go over, probably because he smelled the treats and probably because for whatever reason, dogs, you know, tend to be friendly, this lady snatched up the dog. And so in her snatching up the dog and her immediately becoming hysterical, probably because, well, I don't know, I don't want to speculate, but she became hysterical. So the man pulled out his camera and started filming, which is, well, you know, if you're Black, always have your camera, always have your phone charged. Just like always have your phone charged at this point, because you never know. Like, you never know when that footage is going to be the difference, quite frankly, between your life and death at this point, like, given the way things are riding. So anyway, he starts recording this woman, and this woman proceeds to pull out every, you know, what do we call her? Miss Missy? What do we call her? What do we call that lady? What do we call that white lady from back in the day that always, you know, like, would just weaponize her white woman and such a thing? They talked about her in Get Out. You know, what's her name?
I forget.
Right. So anyway, Karen. This is fucking color Karen. So she busts out her, and literally there is the video is her being like, well, I'm gonna call, I'm gonna tell them African American man is threatening me. And so he goes, please do. And he just stays calm and largely silent for the majority of the exchange, wherein this woman gets on the phone, you know, and who knows if she really was calling 911. I believe she was. But she gets on the phone, and you can watch her. You watch her just, like, exploit the situation, modulate her tone, falsely escalate her emotions, because she is not getting the response from dispatch that she wants. All the while, choking the shit out of her dog, because her dog is reflecting her emotional state, is reflecting the confusion, is reflecting the perplexity, is reflecting the distress. And because, quite frankly, in my opinion, as someone who works with a lot of animals, she is a poor dog owner, and there's like evidence to support that that we can get to later, she like ends up like choking the dog, and the dog ends up yelping in distress while she's on the phone, literally the same. There's a man, and he's threatening me, an African-American man, he's threatening me and my dog, an African-American man. And like, and then finally she leashes the dog in all of this drama, and the man just goes, thank you, and leaves. And there's a reason why so many people are sharing this footage. There's a reason why so many people are outraged about this. And it's because this is something that Black people have been trying to express to non-Black people since, well, about how long would you say? Since we got to this bitch? Like, maybe?
Yeah. Yes.
And there's a part of me that just feels like, why do we even keep having to have these conversations? And yet, this is why. We keep having to have these conversations because we keep getting proof. And this, to me, is an amazing piece of proof, because it's just like, as far as I'm concerned, there is no white person at this point who can truthfully claim ignorance about this, who can truthfully claim that they don't know, you know, that like these fucking like law enforcement officers are out here to do anything other than protect like white people and white property. And, you know, and you can't convince me that white people don't know that they can absolutely weaponize that thing. And they're just, you know, like,
well, she obviously knew, because she wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Well, she taunted him.
She did.
She may as well. She may as well have been like, "Well, nigga, I'm gonna call the cops and see if they can come out here and harass you, you know, by proxy, because you've annoyed me." So, and the fact that like we deal with shit like this, the fact that we deal with microaggressions, the fact that we deal with macroaggressions, and then we have to like turn to these people who are, because of basic, you know, like very fundamental, systemic, like foundational things in this society, we get gaslit. Yeah. And constantly people are just like, well, I don't think, you know, I don't think it's gotten blah, blah, blah. Like, the fact that a collective mantra is believe Black people just points out the fact that, like, how many times do we have to fucking tell you? Like, I would love for there to be a situation where, and I just say something, and then I don't have to, like, come up with 17 points of proof and 17, like, agenda bullet, you know, pieces.
Exactly.
About what makes me uncomfortable. Like, don't make me have to prove my lived experience to you, because you're too uncomfortable to look at the thing that you are doing that is exacerbating this issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I mean, let it go, let it flow. You know, blossom and brew.
Thank you. And I see some of the people in these comment sections, you know, being less like, you know what, at this point, like, let's just start killing them. And I'm just like, like, I can see why people get there. No, absolutely.
I understand.
I literally saw one today where someone was like, you know what, they're not gonna fucking listen until we just start taking their asses out. And I was just like, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I can certainly understand why motherfuckers could get there.
Well, here's the thing though. I mean, if you think about our history as a people, and back when the Black Panthers were in full effect and they were arming themselves.
Right.
Arming themselves to protect their community, to protect their families, because of getting attacked, because of, you know, racial biases, racism, Jim Crow, all of that coming off of Jim Crow.
Right.
Have we really? I mean, that's another story for another day. But that's why they're like, no, we're going to protect ourselves no matter what. And then that's when the NRA came in and said, like, oh no, gun control. because we were carrying weapons openly,
right?
You know, and so here we are, you know, going sort of back to that mindset. And people get mad scared, like, oh god, they just said, you know, kill all the white people or whatever. And it's like, well, no, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that we're going to protect ourselves. But the moment that you say that, you know, everyone gets afraid and stuff. But then at the same time, they were afraid before you picked up the weapon. What's interesting, though, is that some folks have made the point, but I guess they thought maybe their words were were not necessarily comforting, but they were just saying it like, oh, you know, he seems so nice. He seems so sweet. Like he didn't deserve that and absolutely doesn't deserve it. I want to give a shout out to Rebecca out on Twitter, Film Fatale. And she had mentioned about folks not, you know, not adding respectability politics to it. But on top of that, another shout out to Maquita Lastar, because she had mentioned about the fact that here we have a young man who is like your stereotypical blurred, basically, you know, stereotypical. He's a comic book writer for Marvel. He works for a biomedical firm now as an editor.
Christian Cooper?
Yes.
This is news to me.
Okay. And also he's a part of the Audubon Society. She was a bird watcher. And his sister, who posted the video, she's a comic book writer as well and a screenwriter.
Small ass world. Okay.
So it's a small ass world. So here's a person that's not only a black man, but he's also part of, I guess, what you would say the overall blurred nerd community. And people think that folks like us, who have interests like us, that are categorically looked at as white, for example, like white interests, because we have a hobby. And it's like, oh no, you're non-threatening. Nobody's gonna roll up on you. You know, you talk like you're white, quote unquote, like you're not a threat. But here we have him and him living in his skin, existing, being a threat, which is never outside of our purview. But it's all another reminder that, like, no, you're not safe. No matter how safe you think you are or try to make yourself be, which I'm not saying that he was. He's just being himself. He's living his life. But that was some of the thought process. Some folks like, oh, well, how could that happen to him? He's black.
Right. I mean, you know, there's this whole like conversation about like this perfect, you know, Negro or like this perfect victim, you know what I mean, kind of thing that comes up where like every time one of us gets like, you know, assassinated by these fucking pigs out here, there's some shit where it's just like, well, she was an honor student and she was this and she was that. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? Like, who cares? Like, and you know, just I'm really tired of the rinse, like, repeat. You know, the rinse repeat. The rinse, repeat. Like, this thing happens every time. You know what I mean? Every time. And the fact that you can, like, just, like, you can map it out, you know? Like, if this person, so switching it up real quick, away from Christian Cooper, but to the gentleman that just got choked out, you know?
Yes, I want to bring that up as well.
Like, let's see, what's going to be the next thing? Now they're going to come up with some reason to let us know why he was, like, you know, somehow deserving of it. Like, whatever his criminal past is. The fact that, like, every time you see some stuff where it's just, like, you know, like when you know a cop kills a black person, it's just like the picture you invariably see of the cop is some effect of like, here he is with his kids and his dog and look at how gentle he was, and then you see the nastiest, grossest, most terrible picture of a black person, and it's just like, this shit is in everything. This shit is everywhere. This is what we talk about when we talk about systemic inequality and systemic racism and this fucking conditioning. And this is what I talk about when I talk about whiteness. This is what I talk about when I say whiteness is demonic, because it is. Because it makes you do terrible shit. It makes you do things that don't make any sense. It makes you hurt people. It makes you kill people. It makes you act out of character. Like, even people that, like, are not white. Right? We know this. It goes back to the respectability politics. And the shit is killing us. It is literally killing us. And I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired of it. And I don't... And that, again, it goes back to this thing where I'm just like, yes, I can certainly understand why people are like, maybe we just need to get a gun, and if some motherfucker come on my lawn, I'm going to just kick him off. Because the thing is, you would do it to us. And this is the thing that I was telling you earlier, where it feels to me like, you know, what I really wish for black people is for us to, you know, with intuition, like with discernment, right? Like, and I have a challenge with this too, because of fucking whiteness and my proximity to it, and the fact that like those motherfuckers pay our bills and we have to deal with them because they're the dominant culture and they're everywhere, and we are not in a position yet to be able to just like go right, because where the fuck would we go, because it's everywhere. Anti-blackness is global. So I'm just sort of like, maybe now it's time to like not to actively make people who are upholding whiteness and adhering to whiteness and really like manifestations of this toxic demonic whiteness uncomfortable all the time, because the simple fact of the matter is, we are constantly made uncomfortable. You know, like there are statistics, the epigenetic fucking changes, the polyvagal theory. Like you walk outside and you're in a black body, you're in a marginalized body, and you are like immediately in fight or flight. Even if you're constantly doing the things to keep yourself in that parasympathetic nervous system state, you're always in the sympathetic nervous system state because you don't know what fuck bullshit is going to come at you today. And so I'm just like, you know what? Maybe you motherfuckers need to be uncomfortable all the time. Maybe we don't need to be nice to you. And so I understand those people where, like, they'll post some things and somebody will come in and the person will be like, yeah, but I don't care what white people think. And so the fact that, like, this erosion, this emotional, this psychological, this energetic erosion is just, like, this unrelenting thing that is just constantly, constantly, constantly beating on people. And then we still have to deal with these people that are like, well, it's not that bad. Maybe you should just do some yoga. I'm like, shut the fuck up. It's time for white people to shut the fuck up. Like, just don't say anything for like 150 years and see what happens. Like, if you could just keep your ears open and your mouth shut, maybe that would be amazing because you motherfuckers been talking this whole time and it's not really working.
So I want you to clarify something.
Yes.
Because it wasn't, take a breath, take a breath. It's all right. This is a safe space. It's a safe space. You know, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, feelings of people that we care about and adore will get hurt, you know, and it's not about, and when I say some people, like those of us who have some white friends, you know, their feelings are going to get hurt. And, you know, you're going to have to get past that in order to be a fruitful person within society that helps to build and not break. What I want you to clarify on is you mentioned demonic, being demonic. Can you clarify that within the context of whiteness for the audience? Because you were saying it, and I know we didn't talk about this the last conversation. So I want you to clarify that a bit.
Ask me different questions. ask me what you mean.
The
like,
context now, of it.
What do you need clarity on? Like, what makes it demonic?
Not me.
What would you like me to offer clarity on? I know.
Clarity on the context of whiteness being demonic.
Well, everywhere. You know what I mean? The context is like, so it's demonic that, you know, you would have your eyes open and like see what's going on in the world and then still do all of the like psychological machinations to make it untrue. Like the fact that the gaslighting, the fact that like there's still people, even with this Christian Cooper thing and this Amy Cooper thing, the fact that there were people in people's comment threads who literally were coming out being like, well, all I see is her being mean to the dog. A number of people.
This is just
animal cruelty. That's all I see here. Really? Like, you really don't see, you really, like, your brain just cannot process the part where this woman said, effectively, I am going to call and I am going to use the race card to endanger your life potentially. And when I don't get the result I want, I am just going to escalate and escalate and escalate. You don't see that? You can't hold space for both. You can't hold space for the fact that she's a terrible dog owner and also she's a racist who would weaponize her phenotype to get this man at the very least massively inconvenienced at the worst possibly killed. You don't see that? All you see is the dog? Okay, that's fucking demonic to me. That you have that in, that you either don't have the capability, that means the demon has a deep hold on you, or you know, that means the demon has like a passive hold on you, right? And you're just like, oh, well, I'm just like bobbling through my life. Or you're unwilling to see it. And that means you're working actively with that demon.
Oh, thank you so much for that. That was great. Thank you. Thank you.
And the other thing I would like to say is humans are essentially pack animals. Interdependence is real. nobody gets away with anything. Collective homeostasis exists, right? So in terms of what's happening, like with what's going on now with this quarantine, and you know, people who, and I'm not even talking about like the AstroTurf reopen protesters, because that's a whole different thing. I'm just talking about the people that are just like really grumpy in their houses because I want to go out. Right? That right there is like the thing that I have been talking about in my practice since we went inside, is the multiple levels and the layers at which we are being asked to check on our wealth, check on our health, and check on our wellness, and check on the various viruses that we are dealing with, not only physical, but also spiritual and intellectual. And the simple fact of the matter is this, I feel like I've just said this so many times, but like this physical virus is just simply like the most tangible manifestation of all of these other ailments with which we have been contending. And like, the simple fact of the matter is like, the fact that like, whatever caused this virus to be what it is, the fact that biological warfare even exists, to me, is evidence that we are dealing with collective spiritual and mental viruses. The fact that governments are like, yes, this is a thing. Like, we're gonna devote money, and we're gonna devote people's minds, and we're gonna devote, you know, like all of these resources. Are the demons on the line? Are you hearing that?
I heard. Well, now I'm hearing. Now I hear you, but you were cut off. You were cut off for just a little bit, for maybe about 3 or 4 seconds.
Right. All I heard was like, rah, 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 rah. You see why? I don't know.
Someone did say, what was that? Someone said, what? Right? Right? Oh, it's Jenny. Jenny said, what is that? Yeah.
Right. What did I tell you? This is not, yeah. I'm not, mm-hmm, yeah. That's a conversation for you and I to have in friend space about ways I might need to start moving a little differently, because, like, I'm just...
Well, here's the thing. Go ahead.
In terms of these relationships, and in terms of making people who are like upholding this malevolent whiteness uncomfortable. When Old Boy got installed in 2016, I said to my friends, black, white, all the various colors, I said, look, please know. Please know, I have seen my own future, and I am going to continue to become radicalized over time. And I'm letting you know because I care about you. I'm letting you know because there may be shit that you see me say, you hear me say, that may make you question, you know? And I'm telling you this now because I want to continue on this journey with you. I want to maintain this, like, you know, relationship that we have, and I hope that we can weather this. But what I am really starting to realize, and what I need people to understand, is like, there is no relationship that comes between me and the liberation of me and mine that can't be obliterated. Like, there isn't one, like not one relationship can't get just blown up, because I'm like, I'll meet you again next time. Like, I'll meet you again next lifetime. And I really hope that like, we can like rock it out, but like, mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a lot. I mean, especially just dealing with being, you know, a black person on a regular basis, just living in this skin, period. And then now it's compounded with the pandemic, and people really out here showing their ass, like they're really like they were before, but now it's just so flippant.
Yeah,
it's so flippant. Like, I laugh, but please understand that, y'all, if you hear me laughing, it's because I'm responding to the ridiculousness of it. You know what happened with, and I'm just calling her Central Park Karen.
Mm-hmm.
what happened with that? She should be in jail. She put his life in jeopardy. Period. Case closed. End of story. And she was so dead set on doing it, she almost killed a dog. You know, really, like, really, that's how passionate she was about it.
That's how important it was to her to uphold her power over this man. That's how offended she was that this black man had the audacity to ask her to follow a rule. That, like, and it's like I posted it in my stories where I'm just like, this woman was so determined to uphold this malevolent whiteness that she would strangle a member of her family. Because you know how I feel about animals. You feel a similar way. That's members of the family. And I'm just like, but how are you doing that to members of your community? How are you metaphorically doing that? How are you so engaged and so like, just like determined to like maintain this and to keep this thing for whatever reason, for like whatever your fear is, whatever your scarcity consciousness is, whatever, you know, part of you is just like, well, if there's equity and there's equality, what do I lose? You know, like whatever. And that's a whole other conversation, but you're so determined to uphold that consciously or not that you would literally physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually endanger someone that's in your own family and how people are doing that all the time. People are doing that all the time.
Absolutely.
People do it every time it's this thing happened. Oh, well, I don't think it's racial. That's you strangling me. This thing happened. Oh, I don't think that's homophobic. That's you strangling somebody. This thing happened. Oh, do you think it's because you're trans? What the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Like, people are literally, like, the vision of it is that people are literally out here, like, speaking their truth, and motherfuckers come in like, no, you can't. You can't do it. Don't do it. You gotta
keep it silent.
And I think that's why, you know, a deep sort of, like, you know, I don't know, like, blood vessel type response, this is why so many people are, like, even on levels they don't even necessarily know, are so like galvanized around this one particular thing. Because, and here's another thing I know, is that several other people on Twitter, white people, have come out and been like, oh, I know that lady. That's how we found her name. Because one of her dog walker, like a dog walker came out, was like, I know this lady, so-and-so, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then all these other people came out and they were just like, yeah, no, I see that lady in the Ramble all the time. And people are constantly telling her to, you know, leash her dog, and she's always like nasty and she refuses, but like never has she called the cops on me, never has she called the cops on me, never has she called the cops on me. And then there are all these other things where I believe that this dog is serially abused, because he had a whole Instagram profile where it was just like, oh, I freaked out my mom because I ran into the lake, oh, I got bitten by a pit bull, oh, I hurt my foot. And I'm just like, how many of these mishaps are because you was unleashed, or you were off leash in a place that you were supposed to be on leash?
He's probably unleashed all the time. That's why he's been taken away from her.
So, well, that's a whole other thing.
We'll see how long it lasts.
I don't trust that. But I'm saying that to say,
and she's lost her job, but again, we'll see how long that lasts.
This goes back to what I'm saying about how, like, the discomfort, you know, like if the closest we can do, as has been proven to us time and time again, whenever we make, you know, noise about something, is that like these folks just get minorly inconvenienced. These cops get like paid administrative leave, and then they like kind of slowly fall away into the thing, you know, like this sort of like it just gets caught up in like the snowball of the next fucking terrible thing that happens that is obviously racially motivated, that people try to just say, well, is it racial? What did you think? Let's ask them. Like, what the thing with this, you know, last night I posted it, and someone came on and was like, well, do we know what happened? It doesn't fucking matter what happened. It actually doesn't matter what happened.
What happened? What?
Like, In the beginning of the Christian Cooper video with Central Park Karen, someone came in after I posted it, and one of their first comments was like, "Well, do we know what happened?" And I was like, "Here's what happened." But it's like, first of all, part of me is like, you could have Googled that shit on your own. You could have gone to Twitter and found that out. And also, I really invite people to examine, like, yes, consider it. And obviously we want all of the information, but I always question how much of that is, again, going back to this gaslight, like how much of it is, how much of do we know what happened, or do we know what created this, or do we know like who this person was? And even this desire to like create a narrative around like a perfect victim how much of that is rooted in toxic whiteness? How much of that is that like malevolent entity where it's just like, oh, actually, like, I'm going to have to find a reason to make this white person be justified in this racist thing they did? And that is something that I'm just like, are we all thinking about that?
Here's the thing. I think we all think about it because we've all had some type of instance like this. I mean, in terms of black and brown folks. And I see black women on Twitter talking about their histories with working with women who are white, like women who are over them, and points in which they just left their jobs. Like, the situation was so bad that they just literally left their jobs at Forget It. Like, I'm not dealing with this.
Can I read the tweets?
Yeah, totally. And let us know who tweeted.
I think these are great. And then, you know, I have an example, and I would love to hear one of yours.
Jesus.
I mean, just as I find the tweet, why don't you just go through what I'm sure is a cornucopia of bullshit and just pick the one that feels most appropriate for right now. Okay. Well, wait, hold on. So there's a couple of them. She said, so here's a good one. Here's like a pretty, here's perfect. This is actually a great example. You mentioned this thing where it's like the white women who have authority. Okay, my example is, and the example of one of the people who started the tweet from which the tweet that you sent me, or the thread from you sent me, kind of like was an offshoot. She's talking about this in a lateral.
Okay, so tell us what her at is.
So this is by Tressie McMillan Cottom, right? She is verified. So, you know, if that's something that's important to people, she says, one of the many stories I could tell is from graduate school. My comps reading group was to meet at Tuesday the next semester. Over summer, I got some kind of job and asked the group if we can move to Wednesday with a no biggie if not caveat. Okay, she says, a day later, I get an email CC'd to me by the professor leading the reading group. It was a reply to the white woman in class who had come to him crying that I was forcing the group to change, and she was so afraid and terrified to tell me she preferred Tuesday. She was so terrified that when I got the email, she was sitting next to me at a bar at my birthday party. She goes on to say, the professor's CC remains one of the best boss moves done for me in this professional life. He let me know a snake was a snake, that he had copped her dog whistle, and now I knew. And then she says, I cannot count the number of times I've heard that voice, the one in that video referring to Central Park Karen, used to sanction police and condemn me for shit as minor as chewing gum. We got nothing for this type of violence. We got, and it's true, we have no, there is no recourse. It's kind of like in the beginning of Matrix when they're just like, if you see an agent, run. It's that kind of thing. Yeah. It's that kind of thing. And so, you know, they go on to all of this. And so my example of that is something that I shared with you earlier. So back in the day, back in the pre-shaman days, back in the pre, you know, like, you know, I'm a writer, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm really doing this bullshit because of various reasons that I could probably tie back to whiteness and its toxicity and how it fucks with black people too. I was working for investment banks. And and one of the last ones I worked at, you know, and it was one of those things where I was like doing content design, basically, you know, just like making information look nice so people could understand it, so like people could move money around is essentially what the job was. So this was in the early 2000s, early mid-2000s, and, you know, it was just the beginning of like the nearshoring, you know, where it was like the offshoring, the nearshoring, and they were just like moving all of those things to places like India and West Virginia, stuff like that. So anyway, I was like sort of managing this group of people in Chennai. And they like made me have this job. That was not the job I got hired to do there. My job was to do content design. And they did this weird sort of like shifting thing where they were just like, well, now you're just going to manage all these people in India. And I was like, I really don't want to do that, but well, okay, paychecks. And one of the people that they had opted to partner me with was this woman. Her name is Patty. I wish I could remember her last name, because if I could, I would absolutely put her government on this. At this point, I don't give a good goddamn. So, you know, it was like Patty McGee or something like that. Just, and she was unpleasant in every way. Just a whole downer, absolute, just like inside match the outside, you know, one of those. And when it happened, all of our other coworkers who, because I didn't really have any experience with this woman. Like, we worked different shifts. I never really interacted with her. And all of the Black people with whom I worked at that job who did have an experience with her were just like, ooh, I'm sorry, Patty. Ooh, just prepare yourself for that. Patty sucks. Patty, oh, Patty. They were like, Patty's lazy. Patty's this. Just like all of the things. And I was warned, and I was just like, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to take your word for it. And I'm not going to fight this because, like, I'm, you know, whatever, this job, let me mind my business. But that's not even good enough for them. So it would be a thing where, like, so Patty first came in, and I tried to do the thing where we worked together, and that didn't work out, and I just ended up having to correct a bunch of Patty's mistakes and, like, you know, fix fires that Patty started and all kinds of whatnot. Hold on. I don't know if, there I am. And I just had to fix all kinds of shenanigans that Patty was constantly doing, and I finally got tired of that. And I was just like, you know what, Patty? Here's what's going to happen. Anything that you get that you have to, like, review from these people, that's yours. You have to, you see it from front to back. And I'm going to do the same for myself, because I feel like this, like, sharing within, you know, assignment or project is getting too complicated. So, like, I'm going to do mine. You do yours. We are just in charge of it. Like, and that's how that goes. Because, frankly, I was tired of pulling her weight. And I was tired of, you know, I was tired of mewing for her monkey ass. So one particular day in question, she goes out, she takes her lunch, she's gone for like an hour and a half. I'm getting all the stuff done. She comes back and no, lies. That's a lie. Before she had gone to lunch, she had said to me that this one particular project was coming back and could I do something with it? And I was just like, you know what? Actually, no, I have all of these other things. Like, my, like, shift is scheduled out. And also, given the fact that this thing isn't due till the morning, like, I'm sure that you can manage your workload and, like, do it yourself. As we had previously agreed, we were going to take care of our own projects from start to finish. And that was a boundary, because I was just like, no. Like, I'm not going to do this for you. I'm not, no. Like, you have to be responsible for you. And so she went to lunch. And I didn't know if the thing came back because I wasn't looking for it. So then I got up. So she came back from lunch, and then I got up and I went to lunch, and I went and I did my thing and minded my business. And when I came back to the job, I was literally walked back into the office and was called into the conference room because whilst I had been on my break, Patty decided to weaponize her tears and go to the management and cry and talk about how I was so mean to her. And she really felt like I was making her job harder. And I wouldn't share useful information with her. I refused to answer questions when she asked for help. I, you know, was basically creating a hostile work environment. She didn't feel safe around me. She felt like my attitude toward her was affecting her work performance. So basically just did every kind of accusation under the sun, including I'm bad at my job because Ilka is not friendly. And I was out there for 2 months. I was like, you know what? No. Because and to their credit, because there were other people in managerial positions who were Black, they were like, you know what? Okay. Like, we're going to work within, like, the limited parameters we have to kind of just, like, scoop you out of there. So they, like, put me into this other place, like, this different, you know, like, location, another, whatever. You get the gist. But it was that. It was just like, wow. Like, you couldn't even, because I didn't mule for you, because I didn't mammy for you, because I didn't make it soft and nice, you know, and like, okay for you to be a lazy piece of shit, which is pretty much what it boils down to. You got mad about it, and you were more than willing to try to jeopardize my employment.
Yeah.
And that's lateral. That's us being on the same level. I can't believe she would.
Yeah.
And so I always, to me, it's always going to come back to, well, one of the things it's always going to come back to, which is epigenetics. And I truly believe that, and I say this all the time, nobody gets away with anything. And so if we know that people who have lived through the Holocaust and people who have lived, like, the descendants of enslaved people and the descendants of, like, pretty much any genocidal, event have had their DNA changed, then there is literally no way for the perpetrators of those genocidal events to have not had their DNA changed.
Well, I often say, I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, no, please.
But I often say that, you know, the colonized mind is on both sides of the fence. You know, those who have been colonized, those who have been enslaved, you know, they're affected, their future generations are affected, but so are the people that colonized them. So are the people that enslaved them, because certain things were put into place to hold you in that mindset, as it was to also things put in place to hold them in their own mindset. So whether you realize that's what you're doing or not,
right,
that is exactly what's happening, and therefore you are culpable, you are responsible for your behavior from now on, you know, from here on forward. This is a part of you, and it's up to you to recognize it and start going through the process of eradicating that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just us. I just want to read real quick. Someone else had a really good tweet this morning. L Maruska, they them pronouns. Like, okay, I'm non-binary, but socially, excuse me. But socially, I read as a woman, a white woman. And from that standpoint, I want to address white women / people socially read as white women, because this is important. We are weapons of white supremacy. In fact, we are the weapon of white supremacy. And they just go on. They just go on this wonderful thread about how, you know, white women know exactly what they're doing. In regards to, in terms of their behavior and how whole books were written about, you know, such behavior. They mentioned To Kill a Mockingbird as one, and then they proceed to, you know, talk about the various black female scholars,
mm-hmm,
that have discussed this throughout the years. I mean, Elle gives a good, like, 15.
Yeah.
15 and a few white women who have written about whiteness, and specifically the whiteness of white women and how they've used it to harm.
Right.
So shout out to Elle.
I have a whole thing in my stories about books, and I'm just like, would you like to know more? Here, read them. One of them is, there's a very recent one that's a whole workbook. That's Me and White Supremacy. Me and White Supremacy by Layla F. Syed. There's one she's talking about. Let's see, another one. There's a man, David W. Blight, Race and Reunion, The Civil War in American Memory. There's, there's On Immunity by Eula Biss. She talks about how, like, medical racism and how that shit is entrenched in just the way, you know, we're even treated. There's medical apartheid. That's, who's that? That's Harriet Washington. I love that one. There's White Rage, Carol Anderson. There's They Were Her Property. This one, I have a lot of...
There's too much. I mean, with that said, there's too much information out there for people to say. Yes, there's way too much information. If you are hearing folks, you're hearing us, the two of us alone. But if you're hearing other folks, and there is some type of doubt within your mind, right? You know, you already mentioned like someone was looking at your stories and was like, oh, well, you know, well, what happened? What happened in the beginning?
Right.
You know, how did this start? What you really need to ask is, like, where's my history book? Where's a real history book? You know, why? You need to ask yourself, why do black and brown folks have all this information? Why do East Asian people have all this information? Why do Southeast Asian people have all this information? Why do all these people of color have this information and I do not?
Right.
Let me go look something up. Let me go read a book. Let me go read a goddamn book. You know what I mean? Let me do that for myself and educate myself to find out what's going on. But it's fascinating. It's fascinating how people dupe themselves because they want to be duped. Because if you really want to know, you would go and seek that information. You know, this information didn't just come haphazardly to us.
Right.
A lot of this stuff our parents taught us, you know. You know, my mother had stacks of books mm-hmm. about the African American experience, about the Black experience, about she loved history. So I learned about a lot of different folks.
My mother didn't have stacks of books. My mother is an assimilationist. My mother permed her hair. My mother did the whole shenanigan. Okay, it's part of the reason why I don't fuck with my mama right now. And so I didn't have those books. Okay, not only that, but because my mama was who she was, I was in predominantly white institutions my whole life. The last time I was in any sort of educational experience and mostly Black was second grade. Oh. And I have a master's degree. So I've been rocking with these fucking white people the whole goddamn time. And look at me now, okay? And so and the other thing is, and you know, like whatever, we can get into the part where like ancestors and blah, 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 and this and that, because I've really been yelling about this shit since I'm in sixth grade. When I was like, this is not right, right? So at this point, couple things. One, if you are not new to me, none of this should be a surprise. If you are new to me, I lead with it. So again, should not be a surprise. And so back to my point is, which is, even if you don't grow up with those things, right? If there is any part of you that is, and this is another thing I talk about, is like, if there's any part of you that's really accessing your critical thinking, your flexibility of mind, you know, your creative thought forms, right? Empathy, okay? And this goes back to the epigenetic legacy, right? But if you have empathy and you're looking around, and I've had white people say, well, you know, I've known since I was little that the cops are mean to Black people. Like, my parents told me that. And I'm like, okay, and what are you doing about that knowledge? Do you just have that knowledge and you're just like, ooh, yeah, it sucks for Black people. And is there that little part in you that's like, I'm glad that's not me?
Yeah.
Like, wow, it's really shitty for them. Oh, it's been really shitty for them. Cops suck. Oh my God. Like, ooh, all the things redlining. Oh, the war on drugs. Ooh, that is not me. Versus, wow, like that's not me, but it could be, or that's not me, and also it's just fucked up that it's anybody, you know, like that's not me, but it shouldn't be them because it shouldn't be anybody, and what can I do to like not perpetuate this? And there are people who get to that information on their own. There are people who get to that information with the tiniest little nudge. There are people who come to that information because there is a Black person, because they do have that Black friend, because they did fuck that Black person that one time, and they saw the shit the person was going through, and they were like, let me go ahead and find out. No. I truly believe that any white person who is not willing to take on a near neurotic like approach to witnessing this in themselves and like doing what they can to dismantle it, quite frankly, is useless to me and is a danger to my life. Maybe not today, maybe not right now, but at some point you're gonna do some shit. And that's not to say that like everybody fucks up, like nobody is perfect, because if we were, we wouldn't have decided to become human and we wouldn't be having this human experience. But if you're really out here and you're unable to see, again, the ways in which you're perpetrating this thing that like so many people for so long have been talking about, are still talking about, have written books, have written tweets, have sang songs, have made plays, have made television shows, have died for, you can't put two and two together and even acknowledge the ways in which you might be like
contributing,
agent of that and contributing that,
yeah.
Get yeeted into the sun. Dive into a volcano, because you are an agent of death. I fucking said it. And I think it is that deep. I think it is that deep. I do. I don't think this is one of those situations where people can be like, well, I think you're taking it too seriously and blah, blah, blah. And it's, blah, blah, blah. No. This is literally a matter of life and death.
Well, you know what?
Yes.
I think about how...
so spicy today.
I know. You were like, and I'm the Aries, you know?
Well, you're the one who always tells me, you're always like, where are your fire signs? And I'm like, bitch, I don't know.
you know, we talk about charts and fire signs and house. I'm like, where are your fire signs, man? Because they pop.
Hold on, I'll tell you right now. You make your point, I'm
going to fire that. I think about, and this is tied into what you're saying, about the importance of community. And I mentioned this the last time we had the podcast, and how important it is for people to come together and galvanize to, you know, just you know, eradicate white supremacy and toxic patriarchy and misogyny and all that. And what comes to mind is, you know, having an organization. For those who don't know, I'm the coordinator and founder of the Women in Comics Collective International, WINC for short. And, you know, that's our premise, you know. And since working with a community-based organization that whose focus is to promote women and non-binary people within the industry, as well as now, you know, I'm helping men too, you know. we're helping, you know, anyone who identifies with masculinity. We're helping those folks too. So I find it fascinating, like, doing this and encountering white women who want to be a part of it, but not really, and not really wanting to push themselves forward, but not a community entity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, women who've been in the industry for a long time, you know, pardon?
They just want to use it as a tool.
They just want to use it as a tool. Or they see me and they see that I'm a black woman. And now I can say, like, I've worked for a larger company. You know, I had a story with Marvel, but previously, and that was just this year, but previously to that, I had never had any mainstream work. And here I am with this organization. And, you know, the way people have approached me, the way people have talked to me, it's like, well, I want to work with you. You know, I've been doing this for 25 years, but, you know, what can you do for me? You know, type of attitude. And then at the same time, wanting to try to throw me under the bus because they can't do what I do.
Right.
Because I am community minded. And I think about the fact, and maybe one day I'll talk about this at length, about how I've been banned from an organization, a comic book based organization that supports people of color here in New York City.
You're going to have to
later. I've been, yes, you do. You know it better than anybody.
Beam it into my, okay, sorry.
And how I've been banned because a white woman,
yes,
was scared and intimidated, right, by me, and she happens to have a black boyfriend. Okay. And you know, and I've been told that I'm not allowed to go, I'm not welcome, you know, and for me, I don't go where I'm not welcome, but at the same token, I still remain community minded and about helping people no matter what. You know, that's not me putting myself on a pedestal, it's about facts. It's about like who can I help? Who can help me? How can we help each other? You know?
Mutual aid.
It's like, you're good at something, that's great. You know, I've been having a hard time in the industry, and, you know, what can you folks do for me? Can I help too? Like, I can do some stuff. You know, it's like, yeah, girl, come on. Like, there's, like, that's our mindset. Not let me make sure this black woman,
right,
is not allowed into a space because I'm jealous of her. You know?
And
a space in which I was always welcome. So, right. I mean, it's fascinating, y'all. One day I'll tell y'all the whole story.
Girl, that's, man. About how many phone hours do you think we long talking about that? I can, you know,
gosh.
Shit immediately. Because now I'm like, oh, right.
Yeah. No, because it's just, I mean, well, you know, it's like I was going through a hard time at the time. I had lost a lot of people in my life. Like, I've had a lot of deaths. So to be compounded with, okay, I'm not allowed in a space that I was always welcome into. Not only that, I'm not allowed in a space where I helped bring more women of color into because they didn't have any, because women were afraid to go.
Right.
Women were afraid to go because they didn't feel safe, right, in the environment, and I helped make it safe.
Right. So, yeah, so you, like, elevated this thing.
Yes, I elevated it, but because this woman was jealous of me, you know, and I hate to say, like, make it arbitrary, like, oh, so jealous, so catty. It's like, no, it was, you see a Black woman moving in her power and you don't like it. You see a Black woman that's not afraid to sit you down and be like, okay, so what's good with you? Is there an issue? Is there a problem? Because I noticed that you seem to have a problem with me. Once I did that, then I was banned from the space. So just my existence was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, that hasn't stopped me from contributing to my community. It's not stopped me from working to expand and to be better and do better, because I've been through too much. I've been through too much to be so focused on the petty. You know, I've just been too much. But I mention this mainly because it can happen to somebody else, and I don't want that. You know, so it's like, okay, how can I? Like, we're dealing with all these things as Black women. Our community is hurting. It's and you want to talk about self-care, but every 5 minutes you turn on the television and you're told, like, well, nobody care about you. So it really, like, no one cares about you. So I would be frivolous to have a podcast like this that is supposed to be talking about equity, you know, self-care and culture, and not address the fact that you feel uncared for. Sometimes you feel unloved. And that's not what our community has ever been about. It's always been about solidarity and doing our best to pull closer, even though folks try to pull us apart.
Right.
You know, like, we kept ourselves, us and God kept ourselves from completely losing our minds when we were enslaved people. Mm-hmm. We're still here.
Right.
We're still here. There's a reason for that, you know? We got this, girl.
I still would be okay with seeing some people get yeeted into the sun.
Look, I'm not going to take that from you. I you know, and I didn't say yay or nay on that. I'm just talking about, like, there is a healing that has to take place. There is a healing that has to take place in order for us to move forward and to survive all of this nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's important that we talk about it on Twitter. It is. It's important that we talk about it. You know, yeah, dox the woman. Dox, you know, Central Park Karen. Dox her. You know, at the end of the day, though, she gets doxed, but someone else is going to hire her.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, that's
get another dog. It's like, yes. You want actual consequences. You want someone to act an actual apology. Like, I don't live for these apologies that these folks give. Like, this is not sweet kids, but a ton of apologies.
I don't want an apology. That's just more violence, because she's not sorry.
She's not sorry. And, you know, we do, this is my feeling about stuff, you know, someone can refute it, but don't apologize to me unless you mean it. I'm sick and tired of us making these folks apologize or making them feel like they have to apologize. And you know, these people don't mean it. And they put up the apology just for us to talk about how you full of shit and berries.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, no, what I want is accountability.
So hold on. Completely agree. And also, what you just said brings up a really interesting question for me, which is just like, where is the pressure for the apologies? From where is the pressure for the apology coming? Because I don't think it's coming from us. Because we, as far as I'm concerned, well, that maybe not. It doesn't, I am not aligned with the apology thing, because of exactly what you said. Like, I'm just like, why would you apologize? You're not sorry that you did it. You don't actually understand what you did. Because the simple fact of the matter is, for you to put yourself in a position that you did what you did, you're not going to automatically realize why all the various reasons that was fucked up in a day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, where's the pressure of that? Is that just like social pressure? Is that because people were like, I'm going to call your job now? Like, you
they
know.
They did already.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You know, like, and there's something truly to, and I've always believed this. Where I'm just like, be who you are. Like, be who you are and take it. Be who you are and take it. Like, if she had come out and she had been like, okay, well, you know what? I'm not sorry. I didn't like the way that fucking nigger was talking to me. And I felt like I was within my rights to call the cops, because I understand and believe and agree with the fact that cops are here to protect, like, our property and me from you know, these non-humans, right? Or these like less than humans. Like that is the thing I believe. That's effectively what happened. You know? And if she was just like, and now whatever, and if like whatever fucking job wants to fire me because they want to fire me, let me go to another job that totally believes that thing. Like I'm just like, just put them all together. Just like get into the ideological tribe so we can see where not to go. You know? And that's what I'm just like, so where is that pressure for the apology coming from? Because no one believes it. No one believes it. No one believes it. So why are we even doing that dance? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a waste of time. Like, I don't want an apology. I want accountability. That's what I want. And yeah. I mean, somebody might say that's frivolous. I mean, look, I live my life very much like I said what I said. You know, I do. And if I was wrong, if I truly was wrong, if I really need to, like, okay, I need to work on me and change my mindset and change my thought process because this is not conducive, this is not correct or whatever, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do my best. You know, we're all human. I'm gonna do my best. But I would like to think that I'm on that path of like, okay, let's fix it. Let's see how I can fix it.
But, some version of, am I fucked up for this?
Yeah.
And yeah. How many times has one or the other been like, a little bit?
Yeah, true. But it's important to question yourself because sometimes you just need that other person. But sometimes, I'm like, if we Essential Park Karen or whoever, and you have folks that think the same way you do, oh girl, I would have done the same thing. Oh, you know, I'm like, you know, have friends that will really check you. Like have people that really care. Like, no, that was terrible. Like you're a horrible human being. Like what are you doing?
But
don't do that.
That is possible in a situation like this for a white person. Mm-hmm. Given how insulated they are, given how easy it is for them to ignore anything that isn't like in alignment with their dominant culture. Because effectively what we're asking white people to do is expend effort. Right? We're asking them to expend effort. We're asking them to acknowledge and witness some like kind of fucked up patterns, right? Mm-hmm. We're asking them to like be traitors to whiteness, which is by and large like a major, major component of why their lives are the way they are. So we're effectively asking them to like disrupt their whole existence.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's something to chew on. And that's something for them to chew on. It's like, it's like that's what needs to be done if you want to see a more fruitful and conducive. You know, I love that word, conducive. But I think it's appropriate. I think it's appropriate. We want productivity. We want positive productivity.
Yes.
You know, not foolishness.
Right.
In order to really move forward. But if that's not what you're about, if you want things to keep going the way they're going. Like, there's no reason why I'm watching TV and I see another black man dying at the hands of police.
Well,
the reason is racism. The reason is racism and hate.
Yes, none of them are not malevolent.
You know, yeah. When I say there's no reason, I guess what I'm trying to say is there's no excuse. There's no excuse for that to be happening. You know, but apparently there are excuses that are good enough for juries and judges,
yeah.
Apparently, you know, but we have to work on changing the narrative because nobody else is going to do it.
I often think like if I had come into this planet in a different body, if I had come into this planet in a white body, like. What kind of white person would I be? You know, like, would I be the white person, like, you know, the handful of white people, literal handful of white people that I'm thinking of right now, vast majority of them are women, who, like, have read the books, you know? And when I said before, like, that thing about a near neurotic approach, like, I'm thinking about, like, one specific friend who literally, like, is a bit neurotic anyway, and I joke with her, I'm just like, the only real time I feel like I feel like the only time your neuroses was like good was with this thing, you know? And she just decided about 7 years ago that, you know, she was just like, I'm gonna figure some shit out. Mm-hmm. And sat down and looked at some stuff and read some things, did the articles and did the whole stuff, you know, and like So it can be done. you know, another woman I know who lives in Los Angeles who works for like white people for Black Lives. There's another woman that I have been friendly with for not even that long who, again, after Old Boy got installed, we had a conversation and I basically said to her, you know, I know it's gonna hurt you, but you like have to share this burden with Black people. Like you can't, like we really need you to like not do this anymore. And I've watched her over the past like 3 years just like step the fuck up and every time be like, oh. And like the other day it was so sweet because she was like, did you know Black Bird by the Beatles was about Black people? And I was like, yes. She was like, you know, and like that kind of thing. And like just, and so like it can be done. And I think maybe when I'm starting, where I'm landing on it today is I just feel like the numbers are the same. Like the numbers of people who are willing to look at the ways in which like whiteness is a whole society oppressor, right? And it's just like degrees of it and are willing to like make whatever sacrifices or at least consider like what those sacrifices might be. Because they might get to the point where they actually have to make this and they're like, ah, no, you know? But if you're even, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's about, you know, the same amount of people that are trying to do any sort of deep, like psychological and spiritual work, which is not too many people.
Yeah.
You know, which is really not too many people. And it's just kind of like the thing that you were saying earlier when you were talking off the ledge, where you were like, it's very lonely, but we out here.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like, and again, like, yes, we've used the word whiteness a lot, but again, I don't want to leave anybody out because that's why I say whiteness and not white people, because everybody has a fucking demon. And we say it all the time. Everybody is sick. How willing are you to get treatment? Like everybody has a little fucking like whiteness demon. How big is your demon? How often do you dance with your demon? Do you like dancing with that motherfucker? You know what I mean? Are you letting it lead? Are you just like, you know, go ahead. Just like drive the car, I don't care. And so this Central Park Karen, she's still letting that demon drive. The fact that her apology was basically about the dog.
Facts.
I'm like, why did you even, you, okay.
Don't even waste your breath. Don't waste your fingers. Don't type. Nothing. Don't even do it. If you don't mean the apology, do not give it. If you're going to give apology, give one that is thorough and thoughtful and puts the onus on you.
But who does that?
Huh?
Whoever does that.
Some folks do. I mean, in terms of being out in the public and, you know, and stuff like this, not really,
okay.
Not really. Yes. But I mean, if you're talking about, you know, if you're talking about people that we know, you know, even for each other, it's like, my bad. Like, that was really messed up. Let me take a look, deeper look at myself and see, like, what's going on there. You know, like, let me be accountable for my actions. Let me be accountable for the people that I've hurt, you know, or let me be accountable for hurting myself. Like, let me be accountable and let me see how I can grow from there. A lot of folks are not looking to do that. And now is the time where we're looking at these folks, you know, and we're looking at each other too, because there's people within our own community that we have to say, we have to hold accountable. You know, and say, okay, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? I think that's the biggest thing. Where do we go from here? Because, you know, Central Park Karen is not going to be the last.
I mean, she wasn't even the last that day. She just was the one who got filmed.
Exactly. Like, it's continuous. It's a continuous thing. It's like we have to talk about it. But before I was mentioning, like, yeah, we're talking about it on Twitter, you know, dox her, whatever. But action has to happen.
Right.
You know, I see a lot of folks, you know, there's a lot of commentary. I appreciate it. I'm for it. I want to see action. I know we in a pandemic. We all in the house. But there's action that can happen. Like, I don't talk a lot on Twitter. I don't. I repost, reshare for a reason. Because usually most folks that I'm sharing from, my feeling is the same. I co-sign and share what have you. And every once in a while, you know, I'll say something. But otherwise, I'm a very much an upfront person. Like you see me here on podcasts, I'm going to tell you how I feel, you know. And oftentimes enough, you're going to see me. I go to houses. So if you know me well, you know that I do. And that's probably why I got kicked out of that event. Anywho, because I don't play, but that's still like, that's, I'm a black woman. I don't mince words. I'm not out here to hurt anybody or attack anybody. I'm just very, very specific. And if you can't handle specificity, if you can't handle honesty, if you can't handle truth, if you can't handle a person that wants to move forward and progress, then that's not the space I belong in.
Right.
So that's why I'm just like, this it, this me. I said what I said, you know. And I would like that for more folks. I think it is a product healing process. It's like, let's be honest. Let's be really, really honest. Let's be really upfront, but let's grow and heal from that. And just because we grow and heal from it doesn't mean you're still going to be in my circle. It doesn't mean I'm still going to entertain your racism and, you know, your white toxicity. It just means I see it, I know it, and I'm not allowing that in the space or the space of my community. And that's that.
I mean, yes, I agree. Because I think there's something like cancel culture. I'm like, okay.
I have thoughts on cancel culture.
Huh?
I have thoughts on cancel culture as well.
But, you know, what's coming through for me is just sort of like, all right, we have this thing where we have these conversations, you know, on, well, like, you know, Mark Lee Green, for example, I think is a great example. Malcolm X.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's so bad. I know what you mean. Okay, go ahead.
I think he is an amazing example of like failed cancel culture and how it's not really possible. And, you know, the shaman say, if you want to change the world, you change yourself, right? And yeah, as you change yourself, the people around you will either change or leave. And I feel like, you know, this thing about cancel culture, like the people who are like in the, like the fact that, you know, that is a hashtag where it'll be like, so-and-so's cancel party, so-and-so was over party, blah, 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 this thing. The fact that it's so like, in and of itself has become, you know, this sort of like very fleeting part of the vernacular.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at the comments. Go ahead.
You know what? I can't even see those. It's probably for the best. This is a perfect setup. You're a genius and I love you. So, you know, the fact that we're having all of that right now, and it doesn't really stick. Like literally in real time, there will be people that are just like, man, whatever, I still want to smash. Whatever, I'm listening to that music anyway. Yeah. Whatever, I'm still see those movies. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, so we just all have to decide individually to cancel on our own. And then going back to, you know, Talcum X, the fact that, like, we ran that dude, black folks ran that dude off the app. And yet you still see people, like, I still see, just like in the thing with, what's it but Central Park Karen? There were still people in comments being like, you have to let Sean King know about this. He's the one. You know? And they would always. I saw at least three. You got to alert Sean King. You know, and like people will come in and it very, and I've seen it a bunch, and invariably someone will come in and be like, or don't alert Sean King. And these are all the reasons why, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I remember I had that experience. I've had that conversation where I've been like, if you must talk with that dude, like only take him as an informational, you know, like font. And then you're going to have to, you know, vet everything on your own. Because to me, he's like the, honestly, he feels like a gossip rag, like a black trauma gossip rag. Like he's like the Perez Hilton of like, this is the most recent thing that is really gonna, you know, like collectively dramatize black men and like adjust. You know what I mean? Like that's what it feels to me. Like it just feels like he is such a, I mean, whatever, I'm not gonna attack that dude's identity, even though I'm just gonna look into the camera for like 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Goodness. You don't see the comments, but big shout out to Janita. Yep, R. Kelly is back on Spotify. Hashtag failed cancel culture.
Oh my God, hashtag fail cancel culture. We just made that up. It's terrible, but it's useful.
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing, you know? So it's like, we all just have to decide. You know, I think we all have to decide. I think we have to, you know, if you want to, you know what I mean? Shout out Spotify. If you don't want to patronize Spotify, okay. If at the very least you're like never going to listen to that, or you're going to go in and, I don't know, like downvote it something, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, at this point, I'm sort of like, we can have all of these group conversations and we can yip and yap about it on Twitter if we want. But at the end of the day, it's all going to come back to you. And it's all going to come back to like, what do you align yourself with? What is true for you? You know, like, what are you willing to look? What are you willing to bypass? What bullshit are you willing to bypass? You know, and because I like not yet have we seen one cancellation like stick. You know, people still out here being like, oh, Lena Dunham, even though she a whole sexual abuser.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For example. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There, you know, and like, how many people can we list? Like, Doja Cat, okay. Out here, people, just a straight up, just like right wing, you know, whatever. What was it, 2 weeks ago? And she came out with one of the apologies. You know,
yes, she did.
I'm half black, bitch. You ain't never talked about that before. 2 weeks ago, you wouldn't talk about that. 2 weeks ago, when people have the video of your face and your voice, and you were saying all of the things. Now, all of a sudden, it's because you're lonely and you grew up like by yourself and you didn't know how to talk to people and you use chat rooms? Stop it. It's like, it's insulting at this point. It's embarrassing.
It is, but that's why I said what I said. I'm like, if you said it, you said it. If you stand behind it, you stand behind it. If you don't, you don't. You mad you got caught, you're mad. And it may seem unrealistic when I say that, but because I really feel that way. Maybe it's a little bit naive of me. I just feel like if you said it, you a grown ass person. Stand behind what you said or say, and not just be like, oops, my bad, because that trivializes it. But really start to look at yourself. Like really, because you're not doing us any favors. You're just giving us more fodder, more room to make fun of you. More room to be like, oh, my earring fell out. More room to just be like, okay, you're still trash. Like, you're still trash, whatever. You know? I mean, just crawl up in a hole and go away or something. You know, do anything but apologize when you don't mean it. Okay, own your words. People need to own their words. Yes, they do. Yes, they do, Joe. Yes, they do. It's true. Own your words. I said it. I said what I said.
Right.
You know, if you catch me, if someone just had this recent conversation the other day where someone was like, you know what, I may have to purge my tweets because of like nothing crazy, but like, you know, like banter. And there was a concern of, you know, like, yo, like, you know, someone can go back and, you know, maybe see that I got upset about something. And I was just like, don't worry about it. You said what you said. If you were upset, you went back and forth with someone who probably deserved it. Too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see me on this podcast, y'all, I said what I said. I said what I said. Again,
I can't remember a bunch of what I said because I feel like a lot of that anger was some very upset ancestor.
Yeah, it was because you were a roar. Sure. And I said, I'm going to let her be. I'm going to let her live her black life.
Oh.
I'm going to let her be free. I'm going to let her be free. I said, I'm not going to moderate her. I'm not going to corral her. You know, I'm like, let her be free. Let her be black and free.
I feel like we are hurtling toward a thing and we have too much access and too many things that can like stop that hurdle or soften it or even like change the direction into which we're hurtling. And a thing that I often like battle is how do we like how do we choose to make space for the people who like don't have the ability or just aren't interested in like using those tools, you know, because like they're here too, you know what I mean? Like they chose to be here too. Part of their contract was to be here. We talked about you can't have light without shadow.
Well, that's also is in line with hashtag failed cancel culture.
Right.
They're canceled. What do you do with them?
Right. Where they gonna go?
Where they gonna go? And it's like, well, it's like, okay, well, who cares when they go? They're canceled. I'm like, no, that's right. A person that we're letting loose into the world that can still cause harm. No, like, no, you got to put them somewhere where it's a box or something. They gotta go somewhere.
But I think it has to be your box. I think it has, that's what I mean. I think it has to be your box. Because you can't put the box on everybody, because then that's you exerting your will on other people.
Yes, that's true.
They refuse to give me the power to eat motherfuckers into the sun, so I can't do that. You know, so I gotta figure out like how, you know what I mean? And I feel like that, I think, is that it? Like, is that part of it? Is that, do we all have to kind of figure it out? And then let go, like let go of the like stories we had about like, you know, what we thought relationships were gonna be and how our lives were gonna look. You know what I mean? And like, oh, I thought I was gonna grow up with this person. It's like all the people that are just like, I've been married to this motherfucker for 15 years and then I realized that they were racist. A, you knew. And B, good on you for getting to a place where it's a problem. You know? And so it's just kind of like, all right, like there's a betrayal there. Betrayal meaning like the story of my life or the story of this thing didn't go the way that I expected to. You know? And like, how do you live? How do you move past the betrayal? How do you live with the betrayal? How do you process it? And also know that there is still like an entity out there that like helped co-create this betrayal. And not hate them or judge them or want them to get swallowed up by the earth. I don't know. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about.
I mean, you got to take the power back.
To a volcano? Is that what it was? What did I want her to do for so long? Oh, girl.
You said you want her to fly a kite into the sun.
That's what, was it the sun or volcano? I have
you
a thing with
the sun.
I have a thing with people meeting. I really do have a thing with just
you know, I mean, one day, you know, maybe we'll talk about the metaphysical term of a golden sun, and that might be why. I mean, that is supposed to bring about healing. And I think that's part of the reason why you say son, because it's like, I really want you to get healing so I don't have to deal with this nonsense and the world doesn't have to deal with it. So let me yeet you into the sun and call it a day. You know, I think it's actually abundance consciousness, you know? I think it's actually positive. The sun does bring about chaos and disorder, but it's chaos and disorder keeps us living. Keeps us alive and thriving, and you know, it feeds us all of that stuff. So I think there's a benevolent purpose.
That is a great reframe, and I'm gonna hold on to that.
Well, I mean, I want this podcast is supposed to be about that. Like, yeah, we're talking about this stuff that's awful. That's absolutely awful, but at the same time, we're working through it. That's why we're talking about it. We're venting, but we're also working through it, because like, we don't want Central Park Karen. We don't want parking lot Patty. We don't want that in our lives. We're trying to save our lives. We're trying to save our lives. We're trying to save, you know, our community. And that's why it's important to talk about it, because we're out here. We're dying because of the pandemic, you know. We're dying because of racism. We're dying misogyny, you know, white toxicity. Our communities are being hurt and harmed because of these awful things. And it's important that we talk about it. We've been about it, and then we figure out like, we can't necessarily quote unquote fix them, but how do we heal our community and take care of our community so that this does not happen to us. What do we need to do? And that's the broader conversation. Because you know, go collect your cousin. Go snatch Central Park Karen out the park and tell her and shake the shit out of her and say, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, definitely do that. That's definitely their burden, but their burden is having an adverse effect on us because they're not, as a collective, they're not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few folks. But the collective is not doing it, and it's still causing harm to us. You know, look who's our in office right now as our president. Like,
look who his opponent is supposed to be.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. It's like, look at the collective harm. Look at the collective harm that's being done. So that for us, we like, okay, we got to figure this out, because nobody's trying to get enlightened. They just trying to get us got. So
were we talking about it last night when I was saying this thing about, you know, I've been thinking about this and I really don't know what I will end up doing. But at this point, I said this to someone a long time ago. I'm just like, I really wouldn't be, like, I can absolutely understand any Black person, in particular a Black person, who would be divesting entirely from this election, like, just charade. You know?
It makes you want to throw up your hand.
Well, really? Right. Well, because here's the thing, though. This happens all the time. This happens every time. It happens every time. Where these Democrats come out and they just trot out, you know, like this sort of like cocksure certainty that like they got the Black vote all packed up and this whole thing and blah, 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 you know, and the fact that old boy could come out and fix his lips to say, you ain't Black. I was like, wow. Like, yeah. the levels in that, I was like, the levels here are so disgusting to me.
And the privilege.
Hello. And when you just... And like, and even before him, even with that one that a whole bunch of people were like, you know, like our socialist Seuss is coming. And this whole thing where I was just like, but all them jokers voted on the crime bill. All them jokers voted to, you know, call young Black people super predators. All those jokers voted to treat, to you know, charge them like they were adults. Like, all those jokers voted to do that and to never ever have any conversation. And granted, you know, like we didn't have access to even the thought forms we have now then, right? But there was never a part of the conversation about the ways in which all of the stuff that was entrenched and systemically founded, like, contributed to all of that, you know? And I remember, I was much younger, obviously, but I remember what it was like and the crime and all of those things and all of that stuff and how even at the time there were Black folks who were super for that bill, of course not knowing everything that it involved, because when does that ever happen?
Yeah, no, you don't. They put a lot of stuff in these bills. They put a lot of information in the bills.
So, you know, and so it's just like, I'm gonna just say this right now, I really think as this election discourse continues, honestly, if you're not Black, even if you are, don't say shit to a Black person about this election. Unless expressly invited. If somebody comes out and they say to you, you know what, I'm really gonna sit this one out, keep your fucking mouth shut, because really, at this point, we're tired, we're beyond tired, and I really, like, completely understand any Black person that's like, what the fuck is the point? Because the simple fact of the matter is, it's not, like, we still gonna have to be here for us. We still gonna have to do mutual aid, no matter who gets the job, whomever gets installed, it's not necessarily gonna change. It didn't change when one of us was in the house. Shit for us didn't really change. So like, there's never been, you know, a real reason, really, that like, that has returned, like, when have we ever gotten a beneficial return on the investment of deciding to like, play this game? That's the question that I think I would offer all of you to consider. And I'm not trying to convince somebody, you know, like, not to vote, whatever. Like, go in, write some shit. I don't care. Do what you do. Like, vote for whoever the fuck you want. I might vote for Prince Rogers Nelson. Who can say? I don't know. You know? But I don't know. I don't think he would have been a great president. I feel like it's okay to say that. I love you. And also, it's just, like, you have to understand. And, like, please, 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 please consider. Just consider it. If you fix your mouth, if you fix your hand to type, if you fix your anything to communicate with a Black person who expresses that, don't. This is a really great opportunity for you to just fall back and actually really try to engage in some empathy and try to understand what it must be to have, again, this unrelenting fucking shit hammering at you to get to a point where you just be like, you know what, it doesn't fucking matter anyway. And maybe what needs to happen is some of these people that are so entrenched in whiteness need to really understand what it is like to be on the fucking precipice all the time. Really? Maybe that's what needs to happen. Maybe then they'll realize that, like, you know, because here, this is the thing that I say in terms of this quarantine, in terms of, like, culture in general, right? Like, New York, for the most part, gets the shit first and it trickles on out. Right? So of course New York was gonna be the place where the shit hit the hardest. And my poor little computer is starting to get tired because we've been going hard, so just a little quick. So if she's like, you're done, then have a wonderful day.
What we'll do is,
yes.
I'm gonna let you talk and then, you know, we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, we have been riding for 90 minutes.
People have been riding with us. I mean, once I check Twitter, Twitter gets really accurate numbers. We get to see how many people have actually watched this, and it just continues. People will just watch and watch.
Well, join us because we meditate 3 times a week, y'all. There's more things about that. But what was I saying? Oh, right. No. What was I even saying? Returns on investment. Voting.
Yes.
What else? Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, yes. Right. So it's just like at this point, you can even take the race part out of it. You know what I mean? Like you can, oh no, I was talking about New York. Right. So we were the epicenter of this because of course we have all these people coming in, coming out, blah, blah, blah. And so now it's just like, you know, that trend will probably bleed out like to other parts of the country. Like most trends
have the potential. It already is.
Same thing with, hold on. Same thing with black people though. Who is the trendsetters? When we was riding up at the end of 2019 and there was that Twitter hashtag and it was like Twitter moments of the decade and like 99% of them jokers was somebody black doing some great shit that then got diluted and fucking blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like the Savage Challenge, this challenge, that challenge, everything. So again, we are cultural arbiters and I will beat the shit out of anybody that tries to take me from this hill. Okay?
Okay.
Are cultural arbiters. And so the fact that in this country, the jokers that got taken out first, if we're cultural arbiters, you can follow the metaphor, which is like, who's coming now? If black people set the trends, and the trend black people set was they got taken out by this virus, what you think is going to happen next? So just look at the patterns. Look at the patterns and engage in that creative thought form, in that flexibility of mind. Okay, well, this is how things go. Why would this be different?
So and on that yourself, note.
And my thing is, I'm like, save yourself. And like, you don't even have to think about us because you're really conditioned to not think about us, you know? But if you just save yourselves, which is the opposite of what you do, because we know the truth is that people in this country would rather have their lives be shittier than they would be so that black people's lives can be even shittier than theirs are. You know that. We know this, that people continue to vote for trash ass things and give up freedoms and all of this because, well, shit, if we can't have the black people, we can't have the niggas. We can't have them feeling all right. We can't have them feeling safe. So we'll feel a little less safe so they can feel super unsafe. And so I'm saying if you could just get to the part where you don't even have to keep, like, you don't just, if you could just remove the oppression equation out of it and just like, oh, wait, shit for me is fucked up. Well, maybe let me, like, you know, support the things that will make my life easier and, like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to deal with it if it makes the black people's lives easier too. Aw, shucks. But this active, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot so that you get your whole leg blown off, it makes no sense to me.
Well, this conversation is going to continue.
I guess it is.
This is an active conversation, y'all, and we're going to continuously talk about it. And we are going to talk about, and we touched upon it today, how we set to heal as well as progress, because we are arbiters, and let's be arbiters for ourselves, y'all. Let's take care of our communities. Let's help heal our communities. Our resources, our top resource is each other.
Yeah.
That is our top resource. And we're going to continue this conversation. We'll be back soon. I'll post up, you know, when we're going to pop on and say, hi, hello, how are you? And, you know, time to get liberated.
Should we close? Meditation?
We're closing. That's my closing. I'm close, Ilka.
That was great. That was fun.
Done. But for right now, we're the Blossom and Brew podcast. And we do talk about health. We talk about health, taking care of you, self-care and equity and culture. And we will be back soon. So thanks for joining us. Take care. Bye. Be well. Bye-bye.